Hey guys, just want to remind you that the Liquorland Podcast is now available on Stitcher. You can download the app to your phone, you can listen to us, you can rate us, you can share us with your friends. Stitcher, get the app, check us out, review us, and love us. All right, let's get on with the show. I really need this to work, please. It's time for the Liquorland Podcast with JoJo Lewis. Hey everybody, welcome to episode 20 of the Liquorland Podcast with JoJo Lewis. I am JoJo Lewis. Welcome to the Liquorland Podcast. I'm so glad you guys downloaded it. So glad you guys checked it out on Stitcher. I'm so glad you guys checked it out on iTunes. I'm so glad you told all your friends about it. I'm so glad you heard it passing on the night air and you decided, you know what, I want to find out about that wonderful podcast. And you got to it. Thanks so much, you guys. I really appreciate you listening to it. Listening to us again week after week after week, it does make me happy to know that there are people out there listening to this, and I can see the number of people. It's at like 50. I have 50 subscribers, which blows me away, because this is something I'm doing with shit I found and put together haphazardly, and I'm really excited that I get to do it with you guys. I don't normally do this, but I'm going to say a couple of cool things that's happening to me this week. Today is 11/14. It's Friday the 14th, which is not important. But tomorrow is the 15th, 11/15, November 15th, which is the release. The CD release party for Johnny Taylor's first album, Tangled Up in Plaid, which debuted number 7 on iTunes. They're having a nice, fun show at 10:30 tomorrow at the Sack Comedy Spot. I suggest all of you be in attendance, because it's going to be a fun show. There's going to be a lot of great comics on it. Jamie Fernandez, Daniel Humbarger, Johnny Taylor is going to be performing. I'm going to go and hang out, because, you know, I'm featured so prominently on the album. But it's going to be a good time. Also, next Thursday, I'm doing the New Faces Showcase at Cobb's Comedy Club in San Francisco. And if you want to go to that, I can get you in for free. I'm supposed to bring 20 people. And if you want to come, just let me know through, my Gmail, jjlc0m3dy@gmail. You can also get at me on Twitter at Bucky Gums, or you can find me on Facebook at JoJo Lewis. If you want to go to that show, just tell me, and I will get you on my list, and I will get you in for free, and one person from my list is going to get $20. I don't know who it's going to be. It might be you. This is a lot of bullshit, like, fucking advertising, and I hate doing it. I really do. I hate telling you guys where I'm going to be and what I'm going to be doing, but, you know, that's part of this, and I feel that's fine. So last week, I was kind of out of sorts. I had to do a paper for my degree. I had to write like a 30-page paper, and I finished it. I finished that paper. I submitted it, and hopefully I pass. If not, I have to, you know, rethink a lot of life choices, because I don't think you get a do-over for grad school. And when I got done with it, I finished at 6, and I headed straight to the Comedy Spot at 7 to perform and do the lights and sound and shit. And the whole time I was doing that, I was just thinking, like, this is so different than what most, I think, people who are in the academic world do. And I know this sounds like it's coming from a place that no one can really understand, which is fine. It's my fucking podcast. But that whole part of my life I don't like, because I didn't like what it made me into. I've talked about it many times. And the whole time I was doing my exam, I kept running into this thing that I noticed that comics do, that really good teachers happen to do. That's what my essay was on. I had to prove that comedians were really good teachers, and I did. And if you want to know about that, you can talk to me in real life, or maybe I'll send me a message or something. But what I found out was a really good teacher tries to connect with their students on an emotional level, on a resonant level, a level that matters. And that's a lot of the reason why I liked doing comedy, because I could feel connected to other people. And I know that if I make someone laugh, it's like, oh, I healed that person in a small way. I know I haven't been doing it very long, but this seems to be the kind of thing that I enjoy. And I'm at a point now where I'm kind of starting to see how if I really stick to comedy, the next few years are going to play out for me. And there's really not a ton of options, which is nice. I think that a lot of people think options are what it means to have a control of your life. I don't think that's true. I think that the more options you have, the worse things are. So here's the way I see it. And this is thanks really to me talking with Stephen Fury, because he kind of thinks about it in this way. Either you work the road or you move to one of the larger cities in order to, you know, kind of build your way up that way. And I'm an impatient person. I wouldn't want to wait 2 years to go down there like he will. I would probably just go as soon as the opportunity presented itself, or as soon as I worked on the opportunity enough that I could just go there. I would probably end up going to Los Angeles because I like the weather more. Although I've never lived in New York City. I think that would be really cool. But the point is, I've kind of decided that those are the options. And the one option that I really like is the idea of working the road. I don't know why, but I like the idea of driving to a place, doing a show, and that whole long pilgrimage of sadness that I think most comics would describe the road as. I saw I Am Road Comic. I thought it was a really good documentary. And a lot of people, I like, on the few road gigs I've had to do, I had a really good time. And I know that they weren't typical road gigs, or maybe they were. I had to sleep on someone's floor in one. And I like driving places, knowing that when I get there, I'm going to get to do comedy in front of people. And that's a pleasant thing, and I'd like to do that for a long time, because I like the idea of going out there and being with people. And if I could be with people who don't normally get comedy, that seems important to me. For the same reason that I think, this is going to sound strange, but when you're someone who lives a relatively sheltered existence and you deal with other sheltered people, which is what being an academic is, what being someone who teaches at a college is, you don't really feel like you're ever in touch with normal people. And more importantly, you never have any incentive to make your ideas be in touch with normal people. And that's something that I don't like. And the idea that I could work the road, I could go out and talk to people and bring to them, you know, something that they wouldn't normally have access to is amazing, because a college professor doesn't do that. College professors don't fucking go on the road and present their ideas at a bar for $100 and a shot of Jaeger. They don't do that. I would. That's something I really want to do. And hopefully I get to a point where I'm, you know, booking gigs and traveling around and doing that. I don't know how possible that is, because I'm a shitty person. I'm not very funny, but we'll see what happens. The point is, I'm kind of starting to see how things are playing out, and I'm wanting to push myself to new heights. And this sounds stupid, but it's true. And that's just how most of my week has been, just kind of imagining what the future holds, as I think that's important to me. It should be important to you guys. Think about what your future holds and go do stuff that leads you to it. There, you've been thusly inspired. So today on the show, I'm talking to a guy who's really funny and really interesting. His name is Luke Soin. Luke is the host of a YouTube talk show, which used to have very regular release schedule. Now it doesn't, because he's a piece of shit, called the Epic Tiki Talk Show. You can find that on YouTube. He also runs the website EpicTiki.com, which produces really awesome YouTube sketches and skits and things, and it's really interesting. And he's a comic. And he's putting together a live show that's going to be at the Sacramento Comedy Spot on December 6th, a live Tiki Talk show. It has a monologue, and it's going to have sketches, and I'm going to do some stand-up there, and he's going to interview me, and it's going to be a good time, and you guys should come out to that. Another shameless plug. And it's going to be at the Comedy Spot, 10:30, December 6th. See you there. But the point is, it was an interesting talk with this dude, because we talked a lot about, you know, working on the Tiki Talk and just working on projects in general. And it was an interesting chat, and I hope you guys dig it, because Luke is a really calm, really cool guy. kind of got a douchey surfer feel to him, but you get past it, and he's a really sweet dude. And I think our talk went really good. So without any further ado, any further playing up the whatever happened, here's my talk with the very interesting, very funny Luke Soyne. Check it out. If you're at the gym, you'll watch Robin Williams movies?
Yeah. Well, just, I mean, not just those, but I was watching it, and it was weird. There's a scene in that movie where they just show, like, naked Vietnamese children playing on the side of the road or something, and I'm, like, watching this on a elliptical, and there's people next to me, and they're like, what is
they're like, what is he psyching himself up to do? Yeah. Like, why does he need to see that? Why is he goes.
Why is he working out with a boner? That's weird.
Maybe that's some new strength training we don't know about.
The strength to resist the arousal of naked children.
Okay. So it's like mental exercise, but also the physical kind.
Yes.
Do you go to the gym a lot? Are you like an exercise-y kind of guy?
No, and actually, I was helping my mom's... We were recording, right?
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, I just... Whatever.
No, I like that. That's good. That's how a lot of people do it. I like it. No, I was helping my mom's boyfriend move today, and I realized, like, my arms are super weak. Like, I have no upper body strength at all. Because I only run. That's all I do. So I need to start, like... finding a way to lift weights or something.
Yeah, but how often do you find yourself in a situation where you need to, like, lift shit? Like, honestly.
A lot recently because of all the moving. People keep moving and I have to help, and, like, including myself.
You just moved to Midtown, right?
Yeah, it's amazing.
Is it?
Well, it's cool because I was in Folsom, and so I'd never go to open mics or to shows or anything. I'd just be like, I don't want to drive down there and then drive back hella late.
Right.
And now it's like, oh, I can just go over there and hang out. So I've been to like I can do like 5 mics over 3 days, and that's really cool.
Yeah, that is kind of, because I go, because I'm up here and I hit mics every single day, and it's brutal.
Yeah.
It hurt. Like, cause
I assumed you lived down there, and then I found out you lived in Eldorado Hills. It's like, what?
It's, I get off of work, and I sit downtown, and I don't leave. I just wait for hours.
Yeah.
And then I go.
See, that's what I would do. I would, like, bring running clothes or something and go jog, and then go to my mom's house and shower, and then go and do, like, a mic. But I'd have to, like, plan it, and I hate, like, packing every day. Just
oh, yeah.
That. It's like, ugh.
It's like every day I have to pack up the laptop. And just all my shit. And then,
it's like a mini trip every
Yeah,
day.
It really is. Like, you're moving to different places every day. When my girlfriend's around and we split time, like, we'll stay half here and half, like, at her parents' place because her parents have, like, a house that's just for her and her brother.
Oh, that's cool.
So we'll go down and stay there for a while.
Yeah.
And, basically, we have to pack up our entire lives, like, every week, and just shuffle it back and forth.
Dang. So you have, like, a duffel bag every week? You
kind of, yeah.
Over?
Well, we have a bunch of laundry baskets filled with blankets and shit. And,
oh, okay.
Yeah. Normally we come back and we don't even unpack. Like, we literally live out of laundry baskets. I have a dresser that I don't
use. A dresser made of laundry baskets? It's like one of those IKEA ones with the little baskets, but it's huge.
I love those things. There's two of them. Yeah, that's the whole...
Oh, yeah, they're in this room.
Yeah, yeah.
nice Gilmore Girls collection.
I know, I'm extremely proud of that.
I'm assuming this isn't your room, or like it was...
No, this is...
Siblings?
No, this is my girlfriend's room.
Oh, okay.
And it's just, she painted it and decorated it, and then she moved away.
Does she do chemistry?
She does do chemistry.
Okay.
You're hitting on all the primary points of this room. That anytime someone comes in here, they're like, oh, look at it. It's all the
Oh,
the
am I
stuff.
Reiterating? Is that...
Luke's in my house and he's surprised.
Yeah. Well, I look at stuff. I like to look at stuff. I don't know. That sounded weird.
No, it's not that weird. Yeah. Most people look at things and whatever. So you, okay. So for those people who don't know, which I don't know who wouldn't know, Luke, you have a website,
yes,
called Epic Tiki, and you do a show. It's basically like a video podcasty type interview show.
Yeah,
like a mini late night show called Epic Tiki's Tiki Talk Talk Show.
Yes, and you said it exactly perfectly.
Yeah, I've had to introduce you into things several times, and
yeah.
Yeah, it's so how did that start? Like, how did that, the origins of that whole endeavor? Because that's like a lot of work and equipment and planning.
Yeah, we got it to be like pretty easy to where it was like really, we have all the stuff and we just bring it outside and set it up. It's kind of like, you know, the podcast setup. It's just, you need lights and we have a spa, obviously, which we haven't been doing the show because I had to move from my dad's house. So that's where I was living, and he has the hot tub.
Uh-huh.
And then we also, my friend Ricky, who I was making the show with, we both have a DSLR camera, which they take really nice video, so that's what we're using. And I use two so I can cut back and forth and make the cuts seem natural so it feels like a real conversation.
Yeah.
Not just jump cuts like Jenna Marbles videos.
Yeah, yeah.
Which are funny, but sometimes. But yeah, I haven't been doing the show since the Cheryl... the soccer mom episode, because like we don't have two cameras, but I think we'll try to do them when I can get my hands on another camera.
Uh-huh.
Because I want to be able to do that.
How many episodes have you gotten up to so far?
We have 15 episodes.
That's pretty impressive. Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. It's a lot of work. I don't think people understand how much work it is to do anything.
Well, when you watch like the first five, they're like, just watching, like, I used to do, like, we started it, because my vision, if there's a vision, if you can call it that,
yeah,
was to have, like, a late-night talk show-style thing, so I did a monologue, and then we showed a sketch, and then we did an interview, and then it was, like, half the interview, so then we'd show another sketch, and then do the rest of the interview, and it got to be too long. Like, the Mike Sella episode was episode 5, and that one was almost 20 minutes long, and no one wants to sit and watch a 20-minute YouTube video.
Yeah, I remember seeing that.
Yeah. So and then just the monologue jokes are fun to write, and I was getting better at them, I think, but it's just easier. Like, so we just cut it to just an interview, and then it was like a 10-minute show, and that's a good spot. Maybe 8 to 10 minutes is good.
I don't remember, did those ones have still have sketches, or were the sketches a separate thing?
No, now the sketches, we just release them separately.
Okay.
And lately we've been focusing only on the sketches because we can't do the show, and I think people like sketches more. Like, our best video has like 2,000 views now.
That's pretty good.
And it's, yeah, I mean, it's good for a local, you know, some local thing that's not Smosh.
Basically, like an intense like practice, getting better at it.
Yeah,
process. Well,
I think we're getting a lot better. Like we have this ambitious plan right now to do, and we did 5 of them already. We're gonna make 13 sketches for Halloween and start releasing them on October 19th every day until the 31st.
Nice.
So, yeah, we have like 5 in the can. I'm making air quotes.
Yeah.
That's a cool thing to say, is in the can.
You filmmakery types with your making stuff.
You can call me what I am, a douchebag.
Okay. This is
douchebag. It's a douchey thing to say.
He specifically has his glasses clipped into his shirt.
Oh, that wasn't...
neck hole?
Oh, okay. It's a V, and I got a little chest hair.
That's like a douchebag's bow tie. It's just the glasses.
I just took them off, too. You guys can't even see that. I took them off because I feel self-conscious now. Put them on the table. I'll forget them on the table.
Busted. Yeah. So who's on your team of guys? Because it's like, they're not comics, I don't think.
Right? Well, they're not stand-ups, but most of them are improv comedians.
Okay.
So, and I met them, so like I mentioned, my friend Ricky Barchi, I've known him since like high school, or uh-huh. I think he might have even gone to my elementary school, but I never talked to him back then. But he was into video stuff, and I kind of started talking to him because of my friend Mike Garland, who also I was working with sketches, and he moved away.
Right.
But he's one of my best friends. It gets convoluted. I'm trying to keep it. But so, Ricky, he plays drums, and he was in the house band at Comedy Sports. I guess it's a house band. I don't know what you call it. But they have a band in the show, and their band was called Riff. And they do music for, like, musical improv shows.
Uh-huh.
So he got to know all the guys there, and that's how he hooked up with them. So now we have, like, this cast of actors / comedians.
So you draw on, for your shows, you draw on people from the Comedy Sports
Yeah, but it's not... team? It's not like an active, like, draft kind of thing. Like, we just have, like, now we have a team of people. So, like, it's Johnny Citizen, Corey Frew, who some people might know him because he's the teleporting fat guy in a Smosh video.
Really?
Which has, like, 8 million views. Well, every Smosh video has, like, a million views. Like, they don't. Somehow, yeah. They're, like, one of the biggest YouTube channels. And they're from Sacramento, which is pretty crazy.
Do they do their stuff here?
Yeah, they have a studio. I think it's near Midtown. And then they're, like, from Roseville or something. And they have,
interesting.
Like, there's, like, a house that they film a bunch of sketches at. And they have, like, a production company. And I just read the other day that the two guys who run it or who started it, they're going to be voices in the Angry Birds movie. Like, the CG animated Angry
Birds
movie.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. I mean, they were billed at the bottom of the news story. It was like, you know, they weren't the stars, but they're in it, which is pretty crazy.
That's pretty crazy.
So, but yeah, so Corey, you know, so we have a comment on one of our videos. Somebody wrote, like, I see teleporting fat guy. And then and then he's been recognized in person, like, at the mall. Like, a kid ran up to him and was like, you're teleporting fat guy. And he's like, yep. And so it's kind of weird.
Is it?
He's super funny.
I've never seen any of the Smosh videos.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think I've ever encountered them.
They're kind of, yeah.
Are they good? I'm sure they're good, but are they, like, good?
I don't know. I don't personally enjoy them too much.
Okay.
I feel like, and this is, I think that they're aimed at a younger demographic, because they're not, like, complex.
Like a young adult,
like, for
teenager.
14, 12, you know, like, they cuss and stuff, so, you know, it's like, but it's meant for, like, younger kids.
Okay.
You know, they're not really, like, they'll dress up like Finn from Adventure Time just because. There's no, like, they don't write it into it. It's just like, hey, guys, look, I'm Finn. Isn't that funny? You know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, they found something that worked.
Yeah, I mean.
Good for them.
Yeah.
I've been looking at there's this woman in Florida. Her name's Jessica Vanessa.
Oh, is this the girl that put another boob on her chest?
No, that's a different one. That turned out to be fake, and I can't express how disappointed I am.
Oh, she didn't actually do it?
No, it was totally fake. Ugh. Because what happened was...
I wanted to believe that that's true.
One, the story made no sense, because it was like...
Her quote was retarded.
Yeah,
sorry,
I wanted to get the R word. You can use the R word.
I feel bad
the
whenever
retard
I say
word.
It.
No, but it was ridiculous, because she had the three boobs, and then the quote that she had was... I did this so men wouldn't be attracted to me.
Yeah.
It's like every man who's seen Total Recall
would
absolutely be attracted to you.
And the remake.
Yeah, the remake.
And even if that movie didn't exist, they'd be like,
it's like
boobs.
Three boobs. That's amazing.
Yeah.
But then that's like having two vaginas, which is a thing that actually does happen.
Yeah, they tried to get that one lady to do a porno. And she
they offered her like $5 million.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy. Anyway. But yeah, so she made that quote, which was obviously false, and then her clothes looked way too custom-y good.
Yeah, she had like really custom bathing
suits.
Like
she went to a tailor or something.
Yeah.
And then a plastic surgeon was like, look, that's impossible. Like there's no way you could do that. And it was eventually turned out to be totally fake.
Oh,
and
no.
it like the whole story.
So
if you look,
paper mache or something,
or it was
Photoshop.
Yeah, I think it was Photoshop because the whole story kind of reeked as kind of stupid.
Oh,
because
yeah.
Like,
well, the quote—that's the biggest thing. Like for me, I noticed the same thing. I was like, "That's not gonna." If you want to make yourself unattractive to dudes, cut the boobs off. Like,
yeah, just be boobless,
or remove the nipples and make it weird so they get there and like, oh, what is this?
Like, what is going on here?
I don't understand.
But then also, part of the quote was her biggest. Aspiration was to be on a reality show, which is like, what the fuck kind of person is this?
Yeah.
And it's like, this seems pretty fake, but it had all the right beats to be a shitty person.
Oh yeah, well that is
it's like a social experiment almost in how shitty can a person be that you'll still believe they exist.
Well, maybe she got an A in her psychology class in Florida.
Maybe she did. Maybe she's like a doctoral student. This is her thesis. I'm going to compose the dumbest possible person, and people are going to believe it's real because of this, this, and this.
She's going to be on Ellen in like in like a month, and she'll be explaining everything, and it'll be like, "Oh my god, you're so strong that you did this experiment."
She's gonna have big, thick, like Coke bottle glasses and a ponytail because that's what scientists have, and a lab coat,
a white lab coat
on television. She'll wear a lab coat.
She'll be wearing crazy heels. Have you seen those sexy doctor lady, like in the Trojan commercials?
Sexy doctor lady,
and she's just wearing like heels and like. There's just no way you're in a lab all day wearing heels like that.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
What about there's an explosion and you have to run down a hallway?
Yeah.
You can't run in heels.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Just imagine in Godzilla, if Juliette Binoche had heels, she would have even been farther back.
Yeah, it would have been far less exciting. That movie, I really liked that movie, but I was fucking... I was so upset that Bryan Cranston's part was done like so early.
That was dumb. And then Aaron Taylor Johnson was like, he was borderline Hayden Christensen in that movie. Like he had no lines
and just a lot of facial expressions of surprise.
But not even enough surprise. Like you're seeing giant monsters and he's just like you can't see my face right now, but.
I feel like that whole movie, honestly, was just like they had to create a context to watch giant monsters. Because if you just made a 2-hour movie of Godzilla just fighting shit,
they could have, because they do that with Transformers movies.
Yeah, if they had that for I'd watch the hell out of that. I mean, it was a good movie, and it was creepy, but the
cinematography was fantastic.
Yeah. It was such a good movie.
And I think the trailer was better than the movie. You know, because it has they use the 2001 Space Odyssey music, like that creepy the part when they meet. Have you seen that movie?
I haven't seen that movie.
Oh my! You have to watch it.
I know.
You're a sci-fi person, right?
I'm a sci-fi person.
Oh yeah, you need to watch it.
Okay.
Because I don't think this is a spoiler, but there's a part where they're on the moon and they find the monolith. Like the black, it's like a black...
That black square where the monkeys hit the bones.
Yeah, and they find it on the moon, and the music that they play as they approach it is like this crazy, like, operatic, like, it's creepy, but really intense.
Huh.
And that's the music they're playing in the trailer as they're diving out of the plane in the Godzilla trailer.
I remember the trailer.
Yeah, and
I
that music, that's from 2001.
I remember seeing that trailer, and I liked it because you had no idea what it was for or about. You were just like, they're jumping out of a plane, and there's an explosion, and then, oh, it's fucking Godzilla.
Yeah, and then it was so cool because you're like, I've never seen anything like this. And then my friend who's in the Air Force and who's done like jumps like that, he's like, you would never do the red smoke. That's stupid. And I was like, well, it's probably just so that they could... It's for the movie, so
it looks awesome. It doesn't have to be like... That's not how we would really fight a giant, ancient, antediluvian lizard man. Like, whatever.
Yeah. What is antediluvian?
Before the Great Flood.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Deluge? Is that...
I think so.
That sounds...
It's a big word that I know.
You're the English guy.
I am the English guy. Yeah.
I was, like, nervous to do this podcast because I'm like... Oh, JoJo's so smart.
I'm not that smart.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I'm stupid, but I was just... Because I listen to some of them, and they're really, like, introspective, and, you know, and I'm down to talk about that stuff, but I was like...
Well, I was about to... I mean, but we got kind of sidetracked, but my initial thing I was talking about before we started talking about three boobs and stuff was... there's this chick in Florida... Her name is, I think it's Jessica. It's either Vanessa Jessica or Jessica Vanessa. And what she used to be a teacher's aide.
Uh-huh.
And
I saw the story.
Yeah, and she quit her job to twerk. Uh-huh. That's her job, is she twerks on Vine and YouTube. And
how much money was she offered?
Hundreds of thousands of dollars. Like, that's her living. She does that for a living.
She's like 22.
Yeah.
Isn't she?
Yeah. It's actually like a genius idea. And what I liked about it was like she found a way to capitalize. Kind of like the Smosh guys would have on a lowest common denominator that just works.
Or I thought you were going to go there and say at her assets? I thought you were going to do it.
That's too easy.
Oh, okay.
That's just low-hanging fruit now.
That's the first joke. You got to say it. You have to say it. Get out of the way so you can get to the next one.
She knows how to use her assets. Anyway. No, I watched the videos, and I'm like, these are, you know.
Of course you did, for hours.
For hours. It's the only thing that can get through my works porn filter.
It's mesmerizing. Because it's on my phone.
Look, watching it now. No, but I remember they had an interview... And I don't know. My feeling is she was being genuine in the interview, but in the interview she started crying.
Oh, I didn't watch the whole interview part.
Yeah, there's a part in the interview.
I get it. This is ridiculous.
Where she's, well, it's ridiculous, but it's ridiculous in this way.
I'm happy for her.
Yeah, but she's ridiculous in this way because she was crying because it's like people genuinely hate her.
She probably gets terrible comments.
Absolutely the worst. Anyone, and that's what she was crying about. She's like, I have millions. I remember there was this quote. She's like, I have millions of followers on YouTube and Twitter and Instagram. Why do I feel so alone? And it's like, because alone is just the state of being a person.
Yeah.
But all. But also, it was, I was thinking about, like, just as an, like, she's one of those people, like, Smosh, like a lot of the like Epic Mealtime, like these guys who are able to kind of tap into a really broad audience,
yeah,
to a point where it is like insane that they're that popular.
Yeah, and all they're doing is doing something they think is fun, or that they're just fucking
around. It's kind of like just really it's stupid what they're doing, but it's somehow hit a chord.
Yeah.
And there's no, it almost seems like there's no science to it. It's like this just a total random chance thing.
Yeah, I think.
Almost.
Like the Epic Mealtime guys, I've seen a few of them. I don't like religiously watch their stuff.
Yeah.
But I feel like somehow they just caught on and then they just did stuff bigger and bigger. And then once you get, you know, once you get like a certain amount of subscribers on YouTube or followers on Vine, you just start to get hit up by companies, I think, that they want you to like. Plug them, and then you get paid for that.
That's exactly what happened with Jessica Vanessa. She would do vines of her twerking in various locations, and after a while, companies were just offering her mad amounts of cash just to, hey, could you just put our logo on the video as you do it?
Can you just chug a bottle of Jose Cuervo?
And then just do your thing, and then they were like, yeah, okay. But I liked Epic Mealtime. I haven't watched it in a while either, but I used to watch it every week.
Is it weird that I'm like, one of my first thoughts is, they're wasting a lot of food. There's no way that they're eating that giant burger that they put in the oven and bake for 8 hours. Like,
yeah, I think that sometimes. But also, like,
that's I know I'm getting older, so I'm thinking about that first.
But they actually, well, here's the thing. They've kind of made the leap into, like, a legitimate, like, they make cooking videos, like, on how to cook now.
Oh, like actually, like regular meals for your family or like your
How to make a date or something. Like they showed like the epic, it was like the epic pancakes where they made Jack Daniel's syrup, and then I have a video that's like a behind the scenes. Like here's how you make Jack Daniel's syrup, and
oh, so like they have the funny or like their main video.
Yeah, they still have the funny videos, but then now they have like, well, if you want to know how to actually make this as a food, we can show you.
Yeah.
And it's really like five techniques of how to reduce Jack Daniels, how to deep fry. I think that's it, actually.
That's cool. It's smart YouTubing because, I mean, like everything I've heard is you want to, like that's another video that can potentially have millions of views.
Absolutely.
And more money.
And hit a different audience as well.
Yeah, but it's like after they watch the initial video, it's like, here, click on this, and you go, oh, well, I got time, click, and then you click on it and watch it, and then that's more, you know, whatever, advertising money for them.
Yeah, the more content you just have, if you have, like, one person who really likes it, and they look through all the content, they'll tell somebody, and they'll say, oh, these guys have a lot of cool stuff.
Yeah.
Check it out.
That's why you just have to do stuff, and then hope that, like, it blows. You know, like, you can't, I mean, you know, I listen to a shitload of podcasts, and they always talk about how you get famous, you know, and it, like, when I talk to people who got famous somehow like that, they're like, I didn't know that was going to be the thing. Even with, like, movies, like, famous quotes, they're never like, we knew that line was going to be the one that transcended pop culture. Like, no one knows.
No one knows that.
You just have to do stuff and hope that it catches on.
Yeah, and it's, I think about that a lot, because it's like, why, I feel it's a common thought that if you do have some type of thing you need to do, that you'll second guess yourself in terms of doing it. Like that makes sense. Like before you'll do something, you'll be like, well, I don't know if this plan is good enough.
Yeah.
If you write out a script, you're like, I don't know if this script is good enough to bother filming it.
That was my problem for a long time.
Yeah.
And then I listened to Chris Hardwick talk about it, and he's like, just get out there and do it, man. And I was like, okay. And then
you're like, I like that story. I was written down. But then I called my friend, stand-up comedian Chris Hardwick.
Yeah, right on the phone. I called up and I dialed on my phone. I said, at Nerdist. It just worked. You guys should try it. It works. You just dial
just
that.
He'll give you like, what do you need, man? Well, I'm having a tough time with this. So just do it. All right. You got it.
You know he's a demigod. Like, he never sleeps, right? He's a beautiful man that's a nerd and super nice and cool. And he does every project in Hollywood.
He's like a Santa Claus of just encouragement and enabling.
He is. He kind of is. Everyone jokes that he's like the other Ryan Seacrest or like the nerdy Seacrest or I don't know.
Yeah, you know, I can see that. I can really see that.
But he is kind of like, in a weird way, an idol of mine or like a role model. Because he built up like his own thing. He just was like, I like this stuff and I'm going to make it. And then he made it and now he has a Nerdist empire.
Yeah, he built a brand out of really nothing, out of just I'm going to do things I like doing.
Yeah, and now he's got like... He has a bowling show on his. I mean, he has tons of shows on the Nerdist Network on YouTube. Yeah. But there's like a show where they bowl with like famous people like from Breaking Bad, and it's just nuts. I mean, he was already in Hollywood, so he had connections. But you know,
it's just the fact that he did the. It's that he put in the work to do it. I think that's.
He's like he says he has an obsessive personality.
I can see that.
He's had to like instead of like obsessing about negative things or doing stuff that's bad. He focuses all of that obsession on his work and making something cool and awesome. And so that's how he, you know, because his personality is just obsessive, and that's how he, you know, he has to channel the energy to that.
Yeah, because it's really easy, especially if you're the kind of, like, a headier person. Like, if most comics I've found tend to be kind of introspective and in an arguably negative way, like, they'll second guess a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like learning to get over that is almost as hard as like just learning to do well with whatever project you're working on.
Yeah, it's really, I mean, my whole life, like growing up, I was always very like worried about what people would think or just being afraid of like, and it's like, no one cares. I mean, in school they kind of do, because they will, like, if you have a Lion King shirt on one day, they'll be like, oh, you're gay, you have a Lion King shirt on. I'm like,
it's just a Lion King shirt.
Yeah, like, what? I like that movie. I'm 7. I'm supposed to. You dick. And just because my socks and my shorts and my shoes are all Lion King 2 doesn't make it a problem. But I wouldn't say... But how are you supposed to say that when you're 7? You don't know to say that.
Yeah, you don't have that.
You just
don't
care that they care, and then you're like, oh, I'm sorry.
And that quashes whatever individuality you may have been developing.
Exactly.
For years later to come, then you're going to...
Yeah. Which is why high school is stupid. Fuck it. And just get to college and then get out of that and then be yourself. Or try to be yourself in... how many elementary school listeners do you have?
I don't know, actually. I hope zero. I hope no element. I hope there's no teachers who... Actually, I don't know. Idris teaches, so he could theoretically like, alright, kids, I'm going to do nothing. Let's just listen to this.
He's like, hey, guys, my friend JoJo has a podcast. Like, what's a podcast?
Oh, you're going to find out. It's pretty cool. Gets pretty deep.
That'd be really cool.
That would be really cool as a little kid. I don't like a little kid with a I can imagine a little kid having a podcast.
Oh, I listened to this. Have you heard of, you know, TJ Miller, right?
Mm-hmm.
He does a podcast with this comedian, Cash Levy.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of people don't know who he is, but they should. He's hilarious. And they, on their podcast, Cash Levy, he has like two kids and one, they're like 2 and 1 or something. And he has a joke about, like, he started a podcast with his son, and it's just called Baseball Podcast. And they don't talk about baseball, but that's just what his son called it. So that's
what it is.
The story's not as good as I thought it was going to be. I just thought there was more that I would remember, and then I didn't.
Does he just sit on the podcast and talk to his kid? And
well, he doesn't actually do it. He just jokes about it. Like, it's real, but it's not. They make up a lot of shit. Like, they just, it's weird because they'll be like, they'll talk about a real relationship they're having. Like, TJ will be talking about his ex-girlfriend or his girlfriend or whatever, and then all of a sudden he'll just be like, yeah, and then she'll just cut my feet off once in a while and then boil them and put them back, and that's weird. And like, just, like, ridiculous things that are clearly not true. So it's kind of fun to just, it's almost like a puzzle, like, which thing is real. I mean, usually it's obvious, but...
Yeah.
You know.
Same thing happened to me with the feet.
Yeah.
Cutting off, boiling.
I just made that up. He never said that.
He might have.
That's a really weird. Why did I say that?
He's going to listen to my podcast and he's going to be like, that's a good idea. I'm going to have to go do that.
Thanks, Luke Selene. Oh, man.
So were you like, did you get picked on a lot as a kid?
Kind of.
Was that Lion King thing, like, more true than not?
No, yeah, that I did have, like, an outfit, and I wore it one day, and this kid, his name was, like, Chandler. I don't forget his last name. I don't
That's
know if I
horrible,
should.
That's a horrible name.
Chandler?
Chandler's garbage.
Fuck Chandler's.
Yeah, fuck Chandler.
All Chandler's.
Fuck the Chandlers and the Landons.
Yeah, and the people who used to make candles, and that was their job title, was Chandler.
Really? That's someone who made candles?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Because a lot of names are from, like, Cooper. That's
yeah,
like someone,
someone
who
made
barrels.
Yeah,
and I remember you called me out at Luna's one time, right?
Yeah, because you someone who makes
yeah.
barrels.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's called a Cooper.
I read that in a pirate book.
Yeah, me too.
History book.
Oh, yeah, that was important. They had to have someone who could barrel things or they would die.
Yeah, and that was the kind of person that they would abduct when they attacked a crew, and they would be like, hey, you're a Cooper. You can join us and kill people, or we can kill you. And then they'd have to join.
And then
they tried to make a joke out of it. And
then they would be pirates, and
yeah,
things would be cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, so you had one kid who picked on you. Was that like a unique...
Well, that was just one time with that one guy. There, I had like another kid that was like a bully. But he wasn't, like, he never beat me up or anything, but just, he would just be a dick sometimes.
Yeah.
So, like, I think because growing up in Folsom, there wasn't a lot of, like, you know, there was no, like, angry beat-you-up kids. Like, there was a few fights, but they'd always break them up before anything happened, and I never got into a fight. I think I got shoved once or twice, and then I shoved somebody, like, once.
Huh.
But I was always, like, really timid and afraid and avoided confrontation at all costs.
Oh, I get that.
Yeah. I was, like, the sweetest, nicest kid, man. Like, what? You know, I'm just trying to enjoy my time at school and go home and play video games.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. I'm just a little kid. I'm just trying to get through the day, you guys. I'm going through three pixie sticks a day. This is,
I need four, but all I can get is three. If I had that fourth one, man, that'd be, I don't know.
I remember when I was in school, like, all the, like, I was the easiest target to make fun of. I like to read.
Uh-huh.
And,
so you're like the weirdo in the corner reading a 1,000-page book.
I would just hide. I would read Animorphs.
Oh, I loved Animorphs.
They were great.
I used to have like 50 of them.
Yeah, me too.
And I gave
they
them
were
all away.
So awesome. They were such a good story.
Yeah.
Series. It was just awesome.
And they were surprisingly violent.
Yeah.
I remember reading them, and I was like in fifth grade, and they would like talk about how one of the characters would like rake somebody's eyes out as a hawk. Like,
yeah.
You just fly down and, like, nope, no more eyes. And, like, but it would be, like, graphic. And then, like,
they would trample people. They would talk about, like,
yeah.
breaking. I remember there was this one I read where they traveled to dinosaur times.
Oh, yeah. That was, like, it was, like, a double book.
Yeah.
They're almost, like, magazine or comic books. Like, they would come out almost every month and they'd be, like.
And then they'd have an annual once a year that was, like, this awesome story.
Yeah.
And then, like, there was this one part they're talking about every time they transformed, they broke their bones. And they would talk about how their bones were just broken.
Yeah.
And just, oh, that's awful.
And then they would have, they described, like, when they turned into a fly or something, somehow through, like, sci-fi magic, they would, like, transport their mass to, like, another dimension, and it would just sit in like a skin sack.
Yeah,
you know, you remember that, right?
I remember that.
I'm really glad that I was nerdy and into sci-fi stuff because I feel like it opened my brain to stuff.
It was like that, like everything in that series I thought was really cool. It's like parasitic aliens that take over people.
Yeah, it would explain a lot of shitty people in life. It's like, yeah, oh, you're a yerk, that's why.
Yeah, that was the whole point. I think it was like all the school officials, most parents.
Yeah, yeah. do you think there's any coincidence with it rhyming with jerk?
And maybe it actually was spelled like jerk. It was y-j-e-e-r-k.
There was a j in there.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I really like that series.
Yeah,
I wonder how possible it would be to get to read it again. Sometimes, like, could you go out and get them still? I don't know.
When I worked at Borders, like right before we closed, because they're all out of business now.
Garbage.
Yeah, it sucks. There's still Barnes and Noble, so please go to Barnes and Noble. Keep the bookstores open because
yeah.
I love bookstores. I love to go in there and smell the books and
read
them.
Yeah,
and it's such a good thing, but. Yeah, no, before we closed, we started selling them, like, they re-released them with new covers.
Yeah.
And so they had, like, the first four or five on the shelves.
Oh, that's
But I don't
awesome.
Know if anyone was buying them.
I
But they're really good.
Sure I remember the, you worked at the Borders over...
In Folsom?
But it's, like, over Bon Bidwell?
Yeah. Yeah.
I remember that, Borders. When I first moved out here, I loved Borders because they had the best hot chocolate, like, in the world.
Oh, yeah. Was it... Was it before Seattle's Best was their thing, or was it like their own?
It was no, Seattle's Best and Borders were always kind of connected, I thought.
Okay.
And then like the one over here, you would get a hot chocolate, and it would be hot chocolate and then whipped cream, and then they would just stick candy and shit in it.
Just, oh, yeah, they would just put, like, a dark chocolate bar in the top.
And then they'd dust chocolate with it, and they'd be like, here. And then you'd drink it, and you would see through dimensions and time, because it was just so much sugar and chocolate. And you're like, this is the best thing I've ever had.
It's just, it's a weird sort of awesome place, because it really did have that feel that you could just go in there and hang out.
And
you could just go, and of course, like, and once I started working there, I realized, like, how annoying that can be. Like, it's fine. It would just be annoying, like, the people who would take a stack of magazines and just leave it there. But, you know, I'm sure you didn't do that.
No.
And, like, I would never. You know, it's like you take the thing and you read it, and then hopefully you buy it. But if you don't, put it back where you found it. It's not hard. It's really not difficult.
That used to be. I used to do that a lot. I would go to a Barnes & Noble, and I would just get, like, a bunch of magazines or a bunch of stuff I wanted to read. I would sit in the cafe.
Yeah.
I would read it all, and I would just put it back. Because I was like, I didn't even really think about it being an issue. I was like, yeah, I took it away. I should put it
back
where I got it.
I don't get why so many people are just fine with it. Like, oh, they have a person for that.
Yeah, but that's the thing, though. Like, in any other scenario, I won't do that.
Really?
I'll be like.
Like at a PacSun or something, you just leave the shirts everywhere that you
want. Oh, yeah. If I'm at a supermarket, I have ice cream. Oh, I'll just leave it in the beer aisle and just go.
It's still cold in there, right? Like, whatever.
You know what I think it might be? Is I worked at a bookstore for a number of years.
Oh, where did you work at?
I worked at the bookstore at Sac State.
Oh, okay.
For a while.
That's similar. They have a lot of the same sections and stuff.
Yeah, and I remember I spent a lot of time, like part of my... Because I worked where all the textbooks were, so part of my job was, like, you got to go find books that are missing.
Yeah.
And if you find where it's missing, you got to take it back. So a lot of my job is just walking back and forth finding shit, and I'm like, this is so irritating. This is such a fake problem to have.
Well, yeah, because you realize that if everyone just put stuff back when they picked it up, then you wouldn't have to do it. But then you wouldn't have a job either, so that would suck.
Yeah, it's a lot of... I feel like a lot of jobs are totally built on the fact that people are really shitty.
Yeah. Like anything where you're fixing something... Like, at my work, I'm an administrative assistant right now, and I just... Like, I do stuff like I fill the dishwasher. And a lot of it's just like, I don't even need to do that technically. Like, if people just left their, if they cleaned off their dish, which you should do every, I don't know who doesn't do that. Like, just leave it in the sink with like shit stuck to it. Like, if you just cleaned it off immediately, it wouldn't get stuck on like that.
They're just like, let's leave it for the boy. And then... That's so fucked up. Yeah, but it's like that kind of job that, they have, like, industrial-strength janitors. Have you seen, like, any... Have you heard of that?
Industrial? I don't know.
It's like if you have a restaurant that's really fucked up.
Oh, and they just come in and, like, bleach everything?
Yeah, and they just destroy the restaurant with cleaning products because they can't... They're basically counting on people being neglectful and not caring, which is so weird. Just
waiting too long and then calling, like, those people to come in and, like, do 4 months of... Like, clean up 4 months of mold dust or whatever. Yeah.
And then Chef Robert Irvine yells. I like that show. It's Restaurant Impossible. They do that a lot.
Oh, I haven't seen it.
Oh, it's a good show.
Is it like Kitchen Nightmares or whatever? Is it similar to that?
I think so.
Okay.
He goes...
I've seen like 4 commercials for that show, so I know what that is.
I got it. I've seen 4. They're different commercials, so that's like an episode. But no, he goes to restaurants that are failing for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And then he basically destroys the restaurant. Rebuilds it, and then teaches the people who work there how to cook and run a restaurant in the course of 2 days, which I know it's a reality show, but at some level I feel like I could run a restaurant after watching this show, which is not a kind of instinct you should have from watching. It's like, oh, it really only takes 2 days to set up a restaurant and learn how to cook. That's not too bad.
That's like watching a baby story on TLC and being like, I could deliver a baby. I could do that. I saw that there was like 30 seconds where they had the guy, and they just take it out of there, right? Yeah. You wipe it up, it's good.
It makes you wonder, like, how much...
You cut the cord, make sure it's not the penis.
Like, yeah, just make sure. It's like, is it long and connected? It's not penis. All right, I'll get the other one then.
I feel like tying it off would be difficult. Like, how do you know how much length you need, and then, like, you're deciding that kid's future, too? Like, if he has an innie or an outie? You know? Is that how it, isn't that how it works? Like, how
I
much
think
you
so,
leave?
Yeah. It just... Yeah. What, doesn't it fall off? Like, doesn't it... It's because it's vestigial. It just kind of breaks off at the
maybe.
End. I think.
I'm no doctor.
I'm not... Well, I've seen Baby Story.
Oh, yeah.
There are videos... I've been looking on... there are videos for pretty much anything you want to do. There's probably a video on how to do it.
Oh, on YouTube, yeah.
Yeah, relatively
how to easy. Deliver a baby.
I bet you if we type that in, we'd get some pretty fucked up videos. Yeah. That would probably be accurate. It's like, well, first decide what method. Oh, no, there's methods involved. Now we have to understand.
Well, I had to take a birth control in America class.
What?
So this is a crazy story, sort of. So I at Sac State, I graduated. I walked, you know, and everything. And I was like, cool, I'm done. And then, like, 2 weeks before the next semester started, they were like, hey, just kidding, you still need one more class.
Oh,
and I was like, what the fuck? Like, I went to meet up with somebody there, and they were telling me, like, you need this and this and this. And I was like, oh, I got this, cool. And I went through the checklist, and I thought I had everything done.
And then they had one last thing.
Yeah, and it was...
How did you get to go to graduation if you weren't squared away? That doesn't even make sense.
I think because, you know, it's like a government institution that just takes them forever to process everything.
Oh, it's such bullshit.
It is. I hate it.
Yeah.
So what happened was I went... Like, I remember I was mad, so I went to go yell at them. And I met up with a person, and they were like, yeah, you need this one. And they showed me, like, I hadn't fulfilled it. I was like, fuck. So I went to a computer lab that day. And I searched for classes for that semester, and I found one that fit, and it was happening in the next, like, in the next 30 minutes. And I ran to the class and asked the teacher if I could join the class, and she said yes, and I got it. And so it was that. It was birth control history in America or something. And they talked about, like, it was just, I learned so many weird things that you would never need to learn.
Yeah.
Like how condoms evolved and, like, what ancient Egyptians thought was birth control and, like... You know, and then, like, just all this eugenic shit that I didn't even know existed. Like, the term moron was, like, made up in the 30s, I think.
Really?
Stuff like that, yeah. Because they used to have this, they had this movement to, like, isolate dumb people and to, like, try to breed better people. It was very Hitler-y, like, it was very, and it was called eugenics. It was like a fake science.
It wasn't.
They didn't actually have any science behind it, but they called it that like it was.
It was like animal husbandry, but for humans.
Yeah. They were like trying, and they would have, you know, it was when they started to develop, they started to make like those mental asylums that you see in horror movies.
Yeah.
That was like when they were up and running and before they got all haunted and shit.
You know what I mean? We're going to cloister the crazy so they don't pollute the gene pool.
Yeah. And they would have, they like moron was on a scale. Like that was, there was like moron and like, oh, I can't remember the other word. Like it's words that we just use now. And like moron was actually like a clinical term. It was like this person is a moron based on test results or something.
So like moron, like would idiot be a term and
I think
dumb?
I can't remember what the other ones are. I have
slow.
The books at home. Yeah. Yeah. It was similar to that.
That's kind of ridiculous.
It was kind of scary that was a real thing. And then you learn about all the, like when they developed the birth control pill, you know, and how like the dosage was way higher so women would like have blood clots and die all the time.
Oh my God.
Yeah, just horrible shit. And then they had like when they developed the IUDs, you know, like intrauterine devices. And
yeah.
They had one called the Dalkin Shield that apparently like tons of women were getting like their shit fucked up inside them because it was like this spiky thing that they would put in there to like, it was just terrible. Like you hear all these horrible stories and it's just, you know, and then of course the clothes hanger stories and, you know, you just go like, oh my God, it's all because there was no education on birth control. Like
really,
you know, like small town America, they would tell people like, don't have sex, it's bad. And they wouldn't tell them why or how to like, be careful. And then girls would get pregnant in high school and they just send them away for a year and have the baby and give it away and come back and be like, I went on a trip and I went to boarding school. And they would just lie and pretend like it didn't happen.
That sounds like the start of most horrifying movies.
Yeah. it's pretty scary. So we're lucky that we live now, I guess. There's Planned Parenthood and all that stuff.
Are we lucky that we live now?
Yeah. Well, we're not young women, so like
that's true. We're lucky when we live at any time because we're both white and
yeah.
Doesn't matter where we show up. It's good.
It's all gravy.
Everything's totally fine. No, I you hear about those like There's like a thing that's going on in Colorado, I read. I don't know why I'm being so aware of things that are happening right now. I'm not normally this up on things that are happening in the world. There's this thing in Colorado that's basically about to go through, maybe, where if... it's basically if a fertilized egg, which is just two cells, mm-hmm. has the exact same level of rights as a human being.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, that means that abortion isn't a thing you can do anymore. It's just murder at that point.
It would cancel it out.
Yeah, it cancels it out, like, forever, permanently.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, this is kind of fucked up, but no one's talking about it.
And it's about to go through?
Yeah, it probably will.
But they allow marijuana smoking anywhere.
I know, and it's kind of a diminishing return thing. Like, oh, yeah, you can have marijuana, but we get to not have to kill babies now.
Yeah.
It's kind of fucked up.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it completely. You know, like, yeah. I've never really made my decision either way. I'm just like, I get it on one side, and I also think, and so, yeah. That's a really touchy issue.
Yeah, I can see why. It's like one of those societal issues where you're like...
It's kind of sucks to have the government tell you what to do about it, but it's like, I don't know.
Yeah. It's like, what else can we do? We're trapped.
Yeah.
There's nothing we can do. I think about that. There's a lot of futility.
Oh, yeah.
With most things in society where you'll see people like bitching and railing, and it's like, there's nothing you can do except be vocal.
Yeah, and then what does that really do? Like, if you talk, like, I'm always annoyed at people on Facebook when they post something. I'm like, I don't give a shit about
that fucking thing with the posting on Facebook makes no sense to me. Because if you're gonna raise awareness, why would you do it in a? That's the most passive way to raise awareness about
they do it
any
it's
cause.
Easy. You copy a link and you paste it and go, look, guys, and you didn't even read the whole article. That person probably just
read the headline, like, oh, that's terrible. But then they post it to friends only. So it's like, who are you trying to make aware?
Yeah.
Why don't you post it somewhere that, like, it might do something? Like, your friends aren't going to be not up in arms for you.
Well, and then after, you have to like actually do something about it too. That's what I don't like, is people just talk about it and then nothing ever happens.
Yeah, they always talk about like someone actually got pissed off at me not too long ago because they made this post about something and I made a comment that was clearly a joke.
Yeah.
Obvious. In my profile pic, I'm holding a microphone.
clearly a comedian.
Clearly it's a joke. He actually wrote a full, like, a half a page.
Oh, my God.
Just explaining why what I said wasn't real. And then he ended with, you must be joking. My exact response was...
You're like, you got it, finally.
Yeah, exactly. I was joking. That's exactly what I was doing. And then he basically got even more pissed off. And it got to a point where he's like, you're never going to understand what it's like to be a minority. And I'm like, you're right. And I just unfriended him. I don't need him in my life, and I hope all his causes fail. He's a terrible human being.
Oh, but that guy would be good if, you know, when you do Belligerently Uninformed again, you have Facebook drafts.
Oh, yeah, that would be great. I'd just bring that guy up.
Yeah.
He's like, this fucking guy told me I was the devil. And he's right. Things are great for me. I don't know what else to do.
I'm the Prince of Darkness, and I can just tell people to go kill each other, and it's fun. I can just command them magically. I don't know.
I feel like for younger people, like in their 20s and shit, they have a belief that they can fix the world.
Yeah.
But by not really doing anything.
Yeah.
It's the strangest thing. Like, because, you know, I remember hearing in the older people will talk about it. They'll be like, oh, in the 60s we would march and blah, blah, blah. And then it's like, well, activism now is I'm going to repost this link. I'm going to tag three people who will absolutely agree with me that this link indicates something.
Two of them will not repost it because they forgot or will forget.
Or they were driving when they posted it and they, you know, it's not safe. And then I've done all that I can and
to
the world is better.
Promote awareness about not texting while driving. And then I'm going to change my profile picture to an equal sign. To show people that...
Because I'm about that.
I'm okay with the gay.
I drive around, I see the equal sign bumper stickers, and I'm like, without context, that means absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
It doesn't explain
anything.
And
the people who you're trying to convince, they're not on the internet probably, so they don't even know what that is, and then they just think you like math.
Yeah, it's like, that guy is really all about things equaling. Good for him.
He likes balanced equations, that guy. When X equals Y, he is like, yes.
He's like, made it. This is better than getting a raise. I can look at it totally balanced. I don't know, man.
He's like just a weird, he's like a math Buddhist.
This equals enlightenment.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
I don't know.
Riffing is fun.
Riffing is fun. But the subject matter is sad.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
Didn't really go into it. Well, we were talking about abortion, I guess, but
we were kind of talking about a lot of stuff. It went all over the place.
Yeah.
Which is fine. That's what it's supposed to do. You know, we've gone for 50 minutes.
What?
Yeah.
It always goes so fast.
I know, right?
I love podcasts.
That's the logic.
I need to start one, but I haven't wanted to because I feel like there's already so many that I'm like, I don't really want to like step on people's toes slash.
Well, remember what we just talked about. Just call Chris Hardwick and see what he would think.
Well, yeah. I think I'm working on something. I might get something going.
You should.
So, because it's easy, and I have an H4N recorder, so.
See, I really need one of those. Those are fucking amazing recorders. Yeah. They're so nice.
We use those for all our sketches, or that for all our sketches.
Yeah.
So I kind of just, I'll just set the level to like an acceptable amount, and I'll just set it down near us, and we just talk, and hopefully.
And does it catch it really well?
Yeah, it's good at like just capturing a room. So I need to get better at sound because I don't understand hertz and like decibels and like the levels. Like I'll. When I do it in like Premiere or After Effects, and not After Effects, but like Premiere or Audition, like the Adobe stuff, I'll try to like mess with it, and I'm just like, I don't really know what I'm doing. I just need it to like get to the volume to go up or down, or
that's, you know what, that's what I think I think that's actually a lot of the process of learning to do something is it just has to be good enough to get through it. Like I have all this shit. I know how it kind of works. I have no clue really what most of my equipment does.
Yeah, well, you have this little box here, and it has like 18 dials on it, and I don't know what any of those are.
I think every one of those dials affects the volume for another microphone, I think. Okay. But here's the thing, though.
There's not enough microphone jacks, though.
Yeah, there's not enough microphone jacks, and when I first got this machine, I didn't understand that those dials corresponded to anything.
Yeah.
So I'm like, why is this so quiet? And it's like, oh, because I don't know how any of this shit works. But it's just like you fiddle with it for long enough. Yeah. You watch a YouTube video on it, maybe, and then you know, oh, okay, that's how you mic a concert hall or whatever.
Because that's important to know.
Hey, man, you never know when you're going to need to mic a concert hall. I want to get the Zoom 8. I told you about it, like the H5,
yeah.
That has like the clips. It's like the top part, you know, like the other zooms. They have like the cross, like that, the XY.
Yeah.
But the H5s, you can take that off and put in like a shotgun or an Omni.
Yeah, you were telling me about that.
It looks really sweet.
Yeah, that's good because it's multi-purpose.
Yeah, well, each one of the clips is expensive, but then it's like, well, that's another microphone I don't have to buy.
Yeah,
and then you just need a lavalier.
But if you need more than one, then you just have the one microphone. Even if you have different clips, you can only use one at a time.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's a trade-off.
That's the one bummer. You need two cameras and two microphones, and then you have an elite setup.
Yeah, that would be dope. I would love to have... Well, now when we do... I think I'm probably going to do a Tiki Talk with like Nick Larson and Saul Trujillo.
Uh-huh.
Because Nick has a DSLR camera, so they can come over and bring it, and then we can film it.
Nice.
So, but we'll have to do it in my backyard, not in the spa anymore.
But that's okay. You can evolve beyond the spa. It's the Tiki Talk spirit.
Oh yeah, I'll get like bamboo and put it up behind us and like hang. I have tiki stuff. Like my mom's boyfriend let me borrow. He has these two giant, like, they're like carved out of palm trees.
Yeah.
It's like if you hold them the wrong way, you'll get these giant splinters in your hand because palm tree is weird. Yeah. So, but they're cool. They're really neat. And then I don't know. There's like a store that's in Rancho Cordova, and it's like if you go the opposite way of where In-N-Out is on Sunrise. You know, like when you...
Yeah, yeah, past, I know exactly what you're talking about, yeah.
Yeah, and there's like those like warehousey kind of like auto part, that like whole city of like auto part stores. And
yeah.
There's like they have just like a little warehouse store. It's like just two rooms.
It just sells bamboo shit? Or palm tree shit?
No, they sell like tiki mugs and artwork and music and like Hawaiian shirts. And it's run by this super nice couple. It's called Mahalo Tiki. I'm totally plugging their shit now. But it's worth, like, if you like that stuff, they're really nice people. You can go in there, they have some stuff, and their website has a ton more shit. And that's where I bought all my tiki mugs and stuff.
Yeah, I saw.
So
that's crazy.
Yeah.
That it even exists at all.
Well, you have to Google it. Yeah, that's...
I believe you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, I didn't see... Yeah.
Yeah, like, but I'm sure it's real.
It's fun. I don't know. I like that aesthetic for some reason. I just like, you know, like... I think I'm one of those people that loves tropical stuff because I like being there because it's... I don't know. Most people like it. I think a lot of people idealize it and they go there and they're like, this isn't so great. There's sand everywhere. Gets in my shorts.
But then you think about it and you're like, no, that actually is pretty nice.
Yeah. I would love to sit on the beach. Like, I kind of have this like vague dream of like after I made it or made money or something, I can like just have a house in Hawaii and just like live there in obscurity and then come back once in a while like Bill Murray and just drop in and do stuff.
Just do stuff, yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. That does sound kind of nice just on the beach. Hey, there's the beach again and the sunrise or set. You would think property that faces west would cost more over there.
Because sunrise. Oh, set. Yeah, sunset is more. Yeah, because who gets up for sunrises?
Yeah, no one gives a shit about sunrise. Yeah. Sunsets, that's romantic. Sunrise, it's just depressing. It's like, oh, another day.
And the beauty of the sunset, it like gets cooler as it goes lower.
Yeah.
And the sunrise is like, oh, it's getting more harsh on my eyes.
It's just going from pretty colors to burning.
Yeah. The fusion reaction is at its full force. Isn't that weird to think that the sun is just a fusion reaction?
Yeah, it
like
is.
It's stable because it's just unfettered. Like, it's just there doing its thing.
Yeah, just kind of sitting there.
But it's kind of crazy that that's what it is. It's like a giant explosive that's exploding constantly.
Yeah, and it's just right. It's not that far away. Like, it's far away, but it's not that far away.
Yeah. Like, we can't really comprehend the distance if you actually tried to walk, you know, or something. But it is very close, like, relatively speaking.
In terms of the size of the universe.
Yeah.
Yeah, hella close. And it is a bomb.
And that's what physicists say, hella close.
that's a physics term. They have to explain it in every report, but it's always there.
Yeah, I've heard Neil deGrasse Tyson say that. I haven't.
I love that guy. He makes me laugh with his knowledge of science.
Yeah. Have you heard his podcast?
I haven't heard his podcast.
I love podcasts. I said that already.
Yeah.
That's all I talk about.
He has a podcast?
Yeah, it's called Star Talk Radio. And it's very radio-like because they break a lot and they have a lot of sponsors. I think it might even air on the radio and then they put it in as a podcast later. But it's actually pretty cool because they try to make it funny. So like he'll answer questions that people send in, but then he'll have like comedian on. So he'll have, what's his name? He's on Bob's Burgers.
Oh,
chubby guy. He has a weird nose, kind of.
Fuck, I know exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Who he?
He sort of sounds like H. John Benjamin, but he's not. It's the other.
It's. Yeah, I know.
He's kind of like he kind of talks like this. I don't. You know.
I know who you're talking about. I can't.
We'll
remember.
Think of it here.
Yeah,
I'll try to Google it.
Okay.
And we'll keep talking while I do that.
All right. He has
blah blah blah.
He's got a Batman phone case.
Oh yes, I do.
Which is pretty classy and practical.
Oh yeah. Oh, I almost had it. Like a rhyming word came in, and I was like, "That's it." And then it slipped away, and I lost it.
Damn it!
Oh, it's like Myrtle, Jonah, Joan. I don't even.
Eugene
know
Merman.
Yes, Eugene Merman.
Eugene Merman. Yeah,
that's the one.
I don't know why that was so difficult to remember.
That happens, though. You know.
Yeah.
You just can't always recall everything.
He has a crazy voice too. Yeah. And him and John Benjamin. They don't do voices. They just do their voice.
Yeah, but they end up doing a lot of voiceover because they have such unique voices.
Yeah. Oh, and Kristen Schaal.
Yeah.
She's in that show also as the chick with the bunnies.
Yeah, yeah.
Things. Yeah.
I've watched a few episodes and I just... Maybe I need to watch them in order, but I just don't get that show.
Oh, it's...
It's good?
Or it's just okay? H. John Benjamin being H. John Benjamin having fun.
Like, I like Archer more.
Yeah, I like Archer way more too. I love that show.
Yeah.
They just got a sixth season, I think.
That's cool.
Yeah, I don't know. So how are you feeling, dude? Feel okay?
Yeah. Should I feel bad. I only mentioned two of the tiki people, and I didn't want to, like, not mention them, but we got...
Do you want to just quickly say their names so that it's forever recorded that you mentioned?
Or should I, like, plug it?
You can plug it if you want.
I don't know. Do you do plugs on this show?
You can do plugs, but you got to remember it's not going to air for several weeks.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
I'll just say... So, okay. Go to epictiki.com or go on YouTube and search Epic Tiki. We have a cool blue and pink tiki logo, so that's how it'll be the only one.
If you took Epic Tiki and it shows like a place that rents cranes and other large work equipment, it's not that. It's
and if it's like Lord of the Rings but in Hawaii, that's not it either. It's not that. So yeah, just watch our sketches because we have a good. So yeah, our Epic Tiki cast is Johnny Citizen, Corey Frew, Kevin Scott Brown. He's very hilarious. Melissa Melanson. She's more of an actress, but she's very funny. And then Ricky Barchi, who moved away to San Diego, but he's in some of our videos and helped us film. And David Loretta Mola, who is a very talented poet and improviser and improv teacher. I took his class that he had going on. It was like a $5 class every week for like 8 weeks.
Uh-huh.
And I learned a ton of shit. It was great.
Nice.
And yeah, you just learn by doing. It's the coolest thing. He hasn't done it, though, because he's been busy with poetry. But yeah, go to epictiki.com, and if this comes out before October 19th, then start watching our 13 Days of Halloween.
And even after it's Halloween's passed, I mean, YouTube, yeah, you can still it's there forever. It. You can still watch it. And
oh, yeah,
it can
they'll be up there.
It'll be Halloween every
yeah.
day.
We have a lot of great... We have stuff about Jason and the Scream guy and cereal boxes and... awkward shower murders. So just go
it's all
check
kinds,
it out.
Just all kinds of ill stuff.
Yeah.
It's worth checking out.
Dude, no one says ill anymore.
No one says ill.
That's like a 90s thing.
I know.
Should bring it back. Growing up.
You know what is weird? And this is so unrelated. I was driving through downtown. I drove by like the YMCA.
It's on like S Street or something.
Yeah. And there's like a picture in the window. You only have pictures like the graphics of kids like having fun at the YMCA.
Yeah.
One of them was a kid who for some reason was wearing an All That shirt. Do you remember that show?
Yeah.
That he was just wearing a shirt and it's like that is such a weird shirt to have him wear for this photo shoot.
Do you think that was
for the
an
why.
Old photo from back then?
It had to be, because you can't get those shirts anymore.
Well, if you go to the right thrift store,
that's
maybe.
That's true, if you go to the right one.
There's I have a song, this rapper from San Francisco he did this, EP of, remix 90s songs, and he raps, so, one of them is an All That song. So that's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
His name's A1. I'm plugging everything because I like these things.
You just know a lot of stuff.
Yeah. I like to experience things. So.
Why not? Yeah.
He follows me on Twitter, so I owe him that, you know? Do you have any cool Twitter followers that follow you that you're excited about?
No. I don't pay much attention to my Twitter, honestly.
Oh, okay.
I know how it's supposed to work, but I just don't put any effort into it.
Yeah, lately I'll get on for like every 3 days I'll get on and like madly Twitter and then I'll stop for like 2 days.
Yeah.
And I come back and I have like 4 new followers and I'm like, I don't even know. It's like screen printing in Detroit followed you.
So
I'm like,
why?
Who the hell is that? Yeah. So weird.
I think like part of the reason I don't do Twitter very much is just because I don't have a phone that can do it.
Oh yeah.
I have my flippy.
Yeah. If you, once you
phone.
Get,
yeah. Once I get a real phone, well, not a real phone. Once I get
a
device that happens to also be a phone sometimes, but really isn't. It's just a little computer. Then I can use Twitter more.
Do you have an iPod though?
I do. I have a first gen iPod.
Oh. Oh, like a really old one?
Well, it has a touch screen. It was whenever the first iPhone came out and they released an iPod for people who didn't want the phone.
Yeah.
That's what I have.
Oh, okay.
So
I thought you said you were getting a phone, a smartphone or whatever.
No, I'm probably just gonna get like a nice iPod.
Oh, okay.
Because I don't...
It's... I recommend it, but then you're like... it's like a drug. Like, I check it all the time.
Yeah, and then it's also... This is a weird opinion to have, but how often am I in a scenario where I have zero Wi-Fi access, I have no way to use the internet whatsoever, and I really need to?
Well, if you're driving somewhere, maybe.
Yeah, but... I know how freeways work. I know how roads work. So it's like I know if I just keep going, I'll end up at a Starbucks. Like that's how most of America is.
Yeah.
They have Wi-Fi. True. They have Wi-Fi at McDonald's now.
Yeah, that is true.
Man, it's so sad.
I'm always relieved. I'm like, oh, Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Can download another podcast. Download an episode of Liquor Lamp Podcast.
The Liquor Lamp Podcast with JoJo Lewis. You should download it.
Yeah, you're already like
listening. Anyone listening to this is not the target market for any ads.
Yeah, they're already listening to it.
Yeah, they're already.
Hey, go tell your friends to listen to it.
Yeah,
there you go. Yeah,
there's only going to be like 30 more.
Yeah, go
something like that.
Oh, you have a limited amount.
I talked about it on what is relative. When this comes out, it'll be weeks ago. But
okay.
I talked about I'm only going to do 52. And that's going to be it.
For a year's worth?
Yeah, just a full year.
Or are you a DC Comics fan? A lot, so that... I mean, because I...
Oh, yeah, because of the new 52.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but no, that's... that's a coincidence. But it's... Okay. Yeah.
I know you like DC Comics.
I love DC Comics, but there's only 52 weeks in a year. And I'm like, I'll do a full year, and then I'll do something else.
That makes sense, because then you could do another podcast about DC Comics.
Yeah, or just a different format, because it's like every week I have to find another person, and...
There's a lot of people, though.
It gets so exhausting. Like, it's such an exhausting project.
Is it really?
It really is. I've done 20.
Yeah.
And it is tiring, because you gotta... It's every week is I have some new logistical nightmare, and every Friday, like clockwork, I have to give away 2 hours to do the mixing down and the recording.
Oh,
for
yeah.
The, yeah, it's a lot of work.
To it and edit out stuff, or do you just...
I don't edit out. Okay. That's part of the reason why, but I like just putting it up.
Yeah.
So people can hear.
I think for this one it works, because, Belligerently Uninformed is more... It's more like the objective is to be funny.
Yeah, it's
segmenting. And this one's more of a conversation. Not that it can't, it isn't funny, but just that you're not worried about that.
Yeah, it's different goals.
Yeah.
Which is, that's totally cool. And there's more than enough room for both to exist.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, it's just a lot of... Anyone who's starting a podcast can tell you there's a lot of fucking...
Yeah.
The right format actually determines how consistently good it can be. Does that make sense?
So I have to think about this more when I'm making mine.
Well, just figure out what you want to do and then do it. That's what Chris Hardwick would say.
Yeah, yeah.
That would be the inspiration he gives.
You guys, just go and do it.
Just whatever.
Why are you waiting? Why are you sitting down?
What if it doesn't work? Who cares? You'll know. Then try harder next time.
Do or do not. Make it so. I've smashed up Star Wars and Star Trek.
Yeah, I saw that. That was smart.
I saw that. You can't see my face. How did you... when we started talking, I thought it was funny that I can't even see... You're like... I'm like talking to just your eyes.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
It's very romantic.
Imagine you have a big round beard.
Yeah.
With a green ring on it.
Or like a cool like a toxic suit. Like a suit to keep you from...
Oh, yeah. Like
a hazmat suit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's actually a good way to think about it.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
All right, do you think we've talked about enough stuff?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks for coming by, Luke. It's cool talking with you.
Thank you for having me. I feel honored.
All right, guys, that's been our show. I'm really glad you guys could check it out and listen to us and enjoy it. Go to epictiki.com and check out all the cool stuff that Luke Soyne has to offer. So tomorrow, 11:15, 10:30 p.m., Sacramento Comedy Spot, Johnny Taylor's release party for Tangled Up in Plaid. You should check it out. Also, review us on Stitcher, review us on iTunes, tell people about us. You can get at me on Twitter at Bucky Gums. I'm JoJo Lewis. Thanks for hanging out, and told you that this would work. And message me if you want to get on that Cobbs thing. See ya.